any piece of content that's, that you put that much time and investment in needs to have more than one use case.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to Content Cocktail Hour. My name is Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice and the host of today's episode. I am thrilled to be joined by Christy from Thinkific. She is their VP of marketing. We're going to jump into a bunch of different topics today. We've previewed it a little bit behind the scenes. I've got my pen and notebook ready to take some notes myself because this is a topic I think I could certainly do some learning on. But Christy, before we do that, in your own words, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your background and what you're up to.
Yeah, sure. Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be here. We love and use The Juice. So this is really exciting for us to kind of get together and do a bit of a conversation. And yeah, so yeah, VP of marketing at Thinkific. I've been at Thinkific in this role for, oh my gosh, it's going to be 4 years in January, which is just eons in tech time.
Especially in marketing.
Yeah, I actually, and previous to that, I've spent my entire career, except for the early on phase when you're kind of doing a bit of everything in marketing. But when I finally got into, you know, the tech and SaaS area, spent the last just over 10 years in that space. Really focused mainly on B2B marketing, but always finding myself in these hybrid situations where we've had a, you know, B2C to B2B model and a couple different versions of that as well. Been in and around the Canadian tech scene, mostly Canadian tech companies, but some US. Actually was at one that was acquired by a US company, which was definitely interesting. But yeah, and I would always say that I describe myself as an operational marketer. So, you know, you can have creative heads of marketing, you can have, you know, really in-depth kind of, I'd say like customer centric and those people that are very much, you know, in those heads of marketing role. And I always say that my marketing approach is very operational. So, you know, where I come from is demand generation, demand operations, very familiar with marketing automation tools, know my way around a HubSpot or Marketo pretty easily. Because of that, I definitely bring that kind of operational approach to the team. So really good at building teams and love making sure that everything runs smoothly.
Love that. Well, we share a little bit of a parallel path there because I always share my background's in data, marketing data heavily. I was at ExactTarget, then Salesforce, but on our marketing team, I was often in the data side. So I always say I come at marketing from the data and demand gen, kind of the operation side. Yeah, I don't think one is necessarily better or worse than the other, but I do think a lot of times outsiders perceive all marketers come in from the brand and creative space. Just kind of raising that awareness that, like, I think I can lead good brand and creative initiatives, but that's not always my strength. And I love surrounding myself with people who that is their strengths.
That's right. You always hire for, you know, you hire for your weak spots. And so that's, as a leader, that's what you got to do, right? So
exactly.
Awesome.
Well, I'm excited to dive into all things operations, all things Thinkific with you. This is the Content Cocktail Hour, though, so we always ask for a guest before we jump in. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
So I'm on a bit of a no alcohol, or what is it? I hate that term. People love it, though. It's sober curious.
Okay.
I'm not that curious about being sober. I'm just doing it. You know, it was a long summer and, you know, with two small kids, it's hard to, you know, get up in the morning. So we just tend not to drink as much. So I actually love doing like a kombucha cocktail, like full, you know, cocktail, mocktail or whatever. And I can make them for my kids and they love them. Yeah. So we get a little probiotic in there.
We're having a theme with, we've had several guests recently who are on, you know, either cleansing or sober themselves. And a phony Negroni has come up a few times. Some mocktails, I like the kombucha, because that almost turns it into like almost like a health drink, right? Kind of the exact opposite of what a cocktail would do to you. So
I basically just removed the vodka out of it that we were drinking summer. So yeah, that's where we're rocking right now. But we'll, you know, come the holiday season, we'll see where we're at.
Love that. Well, we'll check in maybe on a future episode and see where we're at. Oh, cool. I know you just spoke at Inbound and it was around the idea of using customer education content kind of throughout the entire sales funnel or throughout the entire funnel, really, both pre and post sales. And when you and I talked about this briefly ahead of recording this, you know, I'm fascinated by it because I think I have been in situations where we have tried to use pre-sales content in the customer journey, either for expansion or retention purposes. But you've kind of reverse engineered that and you're starting with a customer and then bringing that back into the sales journey. So I would love to just hear your perspective and kind of expertise on customer education and what it can mean to the full funnel.
I will say that it's a very, in the customer education world, which we live and breathe in over at Thinkific, it is a very hot topic in terms of, you know, how do customer educators, so typically these are people that maybe they were learning in development managers, maybe they were marketers, maybe they were customer support people, but they've all, you know, taken existing content, things like knowledge-based articles, content that people have, companies have already, and created these customer education programs. And the how most of them start, and this is what we see as a theme for most of our customers in the last, you know, 3-4 years, have been, you know, we start at the top of the funnel. We know that customer education is a great way, right? Like, it's a great piece of content to get people in. They're looking for how to use a product. They're maybe even problem aware and not solution aware yet. So you can kind of bring them into that top of the funnel. They're great SEO pieces on like how to's. And so that's typically where, you know, these customer education folks have really spent the majority of their time. At Thinkific, that's definitely where we spent the majority of our time. That's definitely, you know, we have our Thinkific Academy today, and it's very, you know, from an SEO standpoint, it drives a lot of leads. But we realized, and watching our customers actually starting to evolve these programs, that we actually started evolving our own as well. So we started touching more places in the funnel. I was at, as you said, Inbound, HubSpot's event in Boston a week and a half ago. And we brought one of our customers to speak about this, one customer that's done really well in terms of kind of moving this program throughout the funnel. And it's really interesting because they actually, you know, I love to give them credit, but they didn't really do it on purpose.
It's a happy accident.
It's a happy accident, which, you know, as a marketer, you know, there's lots of those.
Yep.
But the way that they were able to kind of move and see success throughout the funnel has been really interesting to me. And it's been, again, a theme that we're seeing with more of our customers in the customer ed space, that like for two reasons, I would say. One is they understand that this lead gen tool, they're bringing in leads. That's great. They obviously have to nurture them into, you know, a paid state, but they're creating a ton of content and they're asking their leaders for more resources, more resources, more resources. I need to create more content. I need to create more content, which I probably you at the juice hear all the time, right? From your customers. But the thing that they're not getting is the yes, okay, you can have the resources to do this, because it's hard to tie back that ROI to lead gen. And I know that a lot of companies, ourselves included, over the last 2-3 years, you know, as we've seen macroeconomic, the economy and the market has really shifted, and top of funnel awareness spend contracted in most tech and SaaS companies. And so these customer education managers that were running these lead gen programs said, okay, I need to show more ROI in my program. How do I do that? And one of the amazing things they did was they looked at two things, partnering with two other teams. One was product, and one was sales. And in both of those partnerships, and we've seen in our customer base, both of either do one or both, but when they looked across the aisle, if you will, to say, hey, product team, right? I've got all this amazing content. What are your problems? And they say, hey, I've got a really, our activation metrics are just in the tank. Like, what are you guys doing other than emails to help us drive activation, right? And there's this moment of realization of like, well, I've got all this content about how to use our product and I've got an activation problem and my emails, maybe my onboarding emails aren't resonating and moving people into the to an activated state. What we call is that like aha moment, you know, if you're familiar with that jobs to be done framework, but how do we get customers to that state? And so we've seen this with us now, with Hootsuite, with various other customers where they said, look, we're going to start taking all this content and moving it into activation and onboarding. And by doing that within, yes, within email programs, within the product itself, embedding content in the right places, offering it using a tool like User Pilot to offer content when people are stuck, and even offering, you know, things like live chat or webinars or things like that, they're actually able to take this content they've already created, that they're asking for more money to create more content, and pair it with, you know, really great metrics in terms of activation, onboarding, creating stickier customers, you know, and ultimately affecting their LTV, right? Their lifetime value of their customer. And so that one is really exciting. And I'll give you a really good example, maybe two actually. You know, we knew that we had all this content. So if like an internal example, had an amazing amount of content top of funnel, like I said, lead gen, all day, was doing great. but our activation rates were falling off a cliff, right? Like, it's tough. Product-led growth is tough for a lot of companies to get going. And so we took a ton of that content and repackaged it. And we actually do use a tool called User Pilot, which is why I called it out, but there's lots of them out there. Pendo is another one, AppQs. And we, based on what that person is doing in product, yes, we sent emails. Of course, we, you know, try to marry that to the product experience, and it has the same content. But we actually use a lot of in-product notifications to offer this content. And not only offering the content in terms of, like, it's a video, it's a PDF or whatever. Most of our content's actually video-based, but we actually pinpoint exactly, like, where in the video you might want to watch. So we're making it as easy and, like, bite-sized and digestible for people in the product. And we've actually seen a massive spike in our first 14 days within our product activation. So we've jumped up, I think, 20% in the last, like, even 3 or 4 weeks since we changed content out. So this is, like, relatively recent for us in terms of our newest add-in, but it's something that we're seeing, you know, across the board, like I said, with our customers. Hootsuite does this really well in terms of their social media certifications. They, again, used it for brand, used it for lead gen. They also use it as a secondary line of revenue, which is interesting, we can talk about in a second. But what they use it for is top of funnel. They did the same. They bought it into their product. So now as you're onboarding, you're getting all of these paywalled pieces of content. So you're adding value to your customer, but you're also helping them with their journey through activation.
The description of top of funnel, like, budgets contracting, but this, the combination of, we have built this habit of being on the content treadmill. The more crass version I use is, like, the content hamster wheel of creation. And then, like,
talk about that all the time too.
Kind of this, like, the distribution or the use across the funnel becomes an afterthought. So I love the way you all are thinking about it there. And maybe this is an ignorant question based on my lack of expertise in your space, but it does feel like we've seen a rise in what I will broadly call courses as a content format for brands. And you even mentioned, like, some people even monetizing their courses. Like, where does, either from the scientific, like, corporate perspective, or just from the team you manage, like, the line feels blurred between customer education courses and content. Like, is that a good thing? Or does there need to be a line in the sand between the intentionality for how you're creating those?
I think there needs to be some specific goals put around, if you're building a course, right? Like, and let's take it from a B2B example first, because I can go into B2C examples in terms of how those funnels work all day. But from a B2B example, so you want to build a customer education course. You need to figure out, you know, and one of the best ways to start this is actually looking at your content, seeing what's being, you know, in terms of, you've got existing content, looking what's being digested the most. And also looking at your product metrics and figuring out, where are people getting stuck?
Just real quick, both of those sound so rudimentary, and I think we skip them so often. So I like, you're exactly right. Like, it sounds revolutionary. Like, see what content resonates and see how people are using the product.
But I think it's a shift. I think it's a shift too, in that customer education managers, or people that become customer education managers, because it's very much like, I was doing this and then I saw, you know, it's definitely this evolution into this role. And they would go by, you know, usually we would go by, oh, we need, you know, then it's an SEO play, right? There's certain keywords we need to hit. And they would go by that route. And that's not a bad route, right? But if you start actually looking at your product and what are your customers need right now? And how are you meeting your customers to where they're at, right? I think that's one of the best things that, you know, people can think about. And again, that marriage between product and marketing becomes even tighter when you look like, hey, I can help you solve this problem. So I think when you're looking to build that course, you're looking at, where are you meeting your customers at? What are they looking at? What are they needing? What are the questions that they're asking? And how do we figure that out? So if I'm going to invest the time in building a course, there is a place, a time and a place for long form content. If you're building that course, you know, you will obviously have to make it digestible. You know, it's got to be, you know, you got to make sure that you've got your lessons and your sections and the videos are engaging and that, all that good stuff. But you know, there is a time and a place for long form content. And a course is a good place for that, for sure. I think the secondary thing is, how do you use that content in other places? And so one of the things that we do and our customers do, Hootsuite does this really well too. And honestly, I keep saying them because I was just with them at Inbound. They actually will take their long form content. And again, this is something we see with a lot of our customers, and you create a funnel into it, right? So just like you're building a, you know, you're building a brand and you have lead gen and you're using content at the top of the funnel to bring people in, we're thinking, okay, I need people to get into this course. I need to help them understand this will solve their problem. I'm going to take this long form content. I'm going to chop it up into bite-sized sections. I'm going to start teasing it on different channels, you know, YouTube Shorts, if you have a TikTok channel, right? Instagram Reels, really highlighting like, hey, you want to use this product. This product's amazing. This is how you're going to use it. And I think one of the other things is, you know, people think, oh, this is just for existing customers. Like how, why would you put it on your social channels? That's pretty, you know, brand awareness or, you know, an awareness channel. The thing that you actually gain from that is people see a brand that is there helping their customers. So you have, again, you've got a piece of content twofold, right? Like you've got a course, you've got long form, you're helping your customers. You've taken snippets that and you become the brand that helps their customers on your social channels. So I think that you, the courseware piece to answer your question is like, yes, it's very separate. It can live alone, but it should, any piece of content that's, that you put that much time and investment in needs to have more than one use case.
I love that. Some of our own best content is how the juice uses the juice. And I think it's twofold, right?
Yes.
It's helpful to customers, but it's a curiosity of us all, right? Like we're supposed to be the best at using your own product. So how does the best do it? I referenced it earlier, but I was on a marketing team that was how we use our own software. It was a digital marketing platform. And we worked closely with our thought leadership team because we were building, you know, these cool, fun kind of use cases for them.
And people love that. One thing that is, you know, we use when I talk about our, you know, I talk with my product marketing team about who our ideal customer is for our Thinkific Plus, so our B2B side of the business. I say, it's us. We are the ICP. Like we, Thinkific is. And so if we can't talk about ourselves to our customers, that's a big problem. Like that's why we've continued to evolve our academy. We've now got, you know, other pieces that play into that and how we brought it through the funnel as well is like, we need to be able to, you know, drink our own champagne, right?
Yeah. We say that all the time. Like if there's a feature or something that like we're not using, we're like, if we're not using it, we can't expect that our customers are using it.
So you get that disconnect and you're like, oh, wait, why did we build that thing?
Yeah, exactly. All right, you mentioned Thinkific Plus, and I do want to hit on this because I think marketers who are listening to this always find these conversations fascinating. It's Thinkific Plus, kind of this evolution of the Thinkific parent brand, if you don't mind me using that word. I'd be curious just kind of the thought process that went into, is it a new brand? Is it the same brand? Is it a sub-brand? I always think those conversations and that strategy is fascinating. So I'd love to hear a little bit how Thinkific and Thinkific Plus kind of navigated through that decision-making and launch.
I think that it's really interesting because like anything, and I think a lot of marketers and a lot of people that have worked in SaaS will hear me say this, is that like anything, it just kind of happened in a lot of ways, right? Like there are so many things that you do on purpose and there's so many things that you have no control over and you just kind of like, well, we'll see. And
you're giving away all of our secrets now.
Yeah, I know, right? And you do at one point, but at some point you have to pull back the reins and start to say, okay, what do we want this thing to be? And so Thinkific Plus started just like that. It started I've actually worked at three companies where we had a B2C product. We said, hey, I bet we could sell this to companies. And away we went. And all of a sudden, you know, we have a 30-person sales team, right? So similar, you know, origin story. We had a sales guy. I wasn't even onboarded yet. We had a sales guy who said, hey, I think I can sell this to companies. He sold to like three kind of pretty big companies. There wasn't a huge difference in the product at that point. We obviously started building features, started to get the product team engaged, from a leadership standpoint, right? The investment was there, agreed to. And they actually, that was how I came on board, is they said, hey, we need to build a marketing team for this. And we just had a smaller self-serve marketing team at the time and nobody knew B2B. So I came in and built the team around it. I think we had one marketer actually at the time. She was responsible for it. And now we've consolidated the team under my leadership. So there's just one team now with some specific roles. But yeah, it was basically that. And I think when we started, it was a really interesting evolution because the reason we have the name Thinkific Plus is because we looked at it as an evolution from our B2C platform is a package plan. It was like the highest tier. And it's actually evolved kind of past that into almost like a very, or not almost, it has a very different ICP. We know that there's a lot of differences for people that come into our B2C. There's also a lot of similarities, which is why our B2C is still a really great lead gen channel for bringing people in if they want to see the product, right? You know, if you want to see a B2B product, you got to get a demo, right? We have an approach where people could sign up for free or for a trial and you can come in and you can see the product. So it's a great lead gen tool. But in terms of branding, the question we actually had to ask ourselves a couple of years ago, or I think it was last year, are we a branded house or are we a house of brands? And that is a really difficult question when you're not even quite sure what this thing could be yet. You're on a growth trajectory where you're like, we're doing really well here. I don't know, right? I don't know yet. But we had to really kind of, like, again, take the reins a bit and make some decisions. And so what we basically said is we are a branded house and everything does fall under the umbrella of Thinkific. And Thinkific, the thing that unites us, because we also have another brand and you're probably less aware of it. We have another one called The Leap, which started as our media company and now is a product. It's a free tool, actually. It's really great. So we said, look, we want to be united in a common purpose and a common position, which is we believe that education is a tool for growth, whether that be personal growth, professional growth, growth of a business or growth of a, you know, a person or an individual business, however you want to look at it. But we believe that education is a tool for growth. And that's the umbrella that we sit under. Plus, the one concession that we did make is that while we have this connection and we bridge this connection, we decided that we would, and this is what I love here, is that, again, taking the reins, we've decided, you know, hey, branded house, house of brands. Okay, so we're a branded house. But we want Plus to have a different look and feel because the customer is different.
Yeah.
So instead of actually creating a brand new brand for it, which we didn't want to do because, again, branded house, we took colors that are in our overall palette for our brand guidelines, and we basically just shifted the primary color. So our brand guidelines are the same. Like, we have the same guidelines across all of Thinkific and Leap and Plus, but we just shift our primary colors depending on what it is. So you do get a bit of a feel of, like, when you walk into the Plus site, which is just a tabbed view from our Thinkific.com, it feels like I'm in a different place, but yet I see elements that connect me to my into the original company that brought me
here. Yeah, that's a pretty powerful brand strategy for somebody who is a self-proclaimed ops person here at the start of this podcast.
Again, I think I can do brand. I think the biggest thing for any leader is, you know what good looks like, right? But again, I hire really good people to do that good stuff, for
sure. That's fascinating. I love that. I love the branded house versus house of brands. And I think it's really savvy to lean into what's working and what already exists, but make sure it has its own distinct look and feel. It's really good stuff. Well, Cole, we always kind of end these conversations with asking our guests, what's one unpopular opinion that you have in marketing?
So my unpopular opinion, I feel like, is terrible for this podcast.
That's all right. Let's hear it. That's what we're here for. Bring it on.
I actually think that, and this is honestly from like experience, like, and even recent experience, is that more content doesn't equal more success.
I'm here for it. I love it. Tell me more.
So I think that, like, you know, we understand that there's this amazing realm of content marketing. And I will say that on the Plus side, we actually built that entire brand on content marketing. We had no paid ads. We had no paid marketing at all. We now do, but we didn't have any budget for that. And so we built that entire brand, like, you know, sub brand or whatever, you know, in terms of the Plus and the marketing, the IC, going after the ICP, it was all based on content. But we also had a very small budget. So, you know, we weren't able to, you know, just pump out like tons of content. We do now. We have a lot of content that comes out, as you probably have seen. But we know that, you know, quality still trumps quantity when it comes to content. And I've gone down the path of driving a ton of content on keywords that just don't convert, getting a ton of traffic, just like charts going up and to the right that you're like, oh my God, look at this growth. Look at our astronomical website traffic, our blog traffic. It's off the charts. I think at one point, I think we had a 45% growth in like a month. Like, it was insane. But the problem is none of that converts, because the more that you diverge away in terms of just going after quantity and not look at the quality and not connect it to what your customer voice is, not connect it to your product and your product needs, what are people actually looking for? You're really going to just bring a lot of people to your site that are great. And from a brand building, great, but they're not going to convert. And so you have to have that balance between quality and quantity when it comes to content.
I am in 100% agreement with that unpopular opinion. So much so, I've gotten to speak at a few events as well. And I've got like a little presentation that is curation is more important than creation. Like, yeah. I think like good content marketers, you know, we get caught on the content hamster wheel or the content treadmill. And like, we already have good content. Like if you, we would just spend the time, energy, and resources curating the right content for the right audience at the right step in the funnel, like we started this conversation, that is more valuable, if not, or as valuable, if not more valuable than just creating something new so that you can keep seeing the chart go up into the right or whatever it may be.
And I think just to leave with two other things, as I said already, you know, every piece of content for me needs to be doing a heavy lift. You have to be in three different channels doing, you know, three different things. You might be in one stage of the funnel, but you're at least, you're doing multiple jobs is one piece of content. Every piece of content has to work hard on our team. And then the second thing is, I always encourage anyone who thinks about customer education is look at your existing content, because any SaaS company has a knowledge base, right? They've got athletes views. These are the pieces of content you can use to create courses, to create customer education programs, and it's already there. You don't need to think, oh my gosh, I can't, I don't know where to start. I'd have to create all this content. You do not. It's there.
I feel like weight being removed from my shoulders hearing a marketer say these things, because I think we don't do a good enough job collectively of doing that all the time. So I absolutely love that perspective. I love the idea of making the content work hard for you. I think that's a cool perspective. Well, cool. Christy, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about Thinkific or Thinkific Plus or The Leap, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best way is you go to our website. So we have thinkific.com and then thinkific.com/plus. But if you go to thinkific.com, again, it's a tab view. You can see the plus tab in there and you can check it out. The Leap is theleap.co. And because it used to be our media company that was separate, we're still bringing it over one piece at a time, but you can still find it on thinkific.com as well. Social medias, you know, we've got all of them. I think, you know, The Leap has a great TikTok account if you're interested in content creation too. They've got a great content engine over there. And then I'm always on LinkedIn. Always on LinkedIn. People can add me. They can message me. I post my articles that I write on there. Funny tidbits that things my kids said and just things that are in my head. So yeah, come visit me. It's, Christy Horsman, Horsman.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you joining the podcast. Really enjoyed the conversation. We will have all of those links in the show notes. To all of our watchers and listeners of this episode, thank you for joining us. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.